Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in to the Andy Griffin Show on Mayor Thursday. Mayor Michelle Randall is here wearing, is that lavender or light purple? I don't know. It looks good.
I would say lavender.
I don't know why we're not hearing you. Oh, there we go. You got to have a microphone.
I would say lavender.
It was my fault. It wasn't my fault this time. So, anyway. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
I know you were stressed out trying to get here on time, but now you can relax a little bit. You and I are just going to talk. And
I know. I ran up those stairs.
You ran up the stairs.
Yeah, and did you notice I have two matching shoes now? No longer carrying, lugging that boot around, so I could run up the stairs.
That's awesome. How is the ankle foot?
It's good. I'm doing physical therapy 3 times a week. And
that's wonderful. I hate physical therapy.
It is. It's awful. And I love my physical therapist, but I said, you're known as physical terrorists, really, because you leave there and you feel worse than when you walked in.
Always, yeah.
And, yeah, but.
Last time I went to physical therapy, I went doing something and it hurt. That hurts. And the physical therapist goes, now we need to distinguish between pain and discomfort.
I know.
Well, I know both of them hurt. I don't know what you... Yeah. So.
And they've got to get the most complaints all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I told them last time I was there. I said, you kind of remind me of a beauty shop. And he looked at me really funny. And I'm like, I just... Because at that time, I was toward the end of it. And they put me in those compression boots on both ankles and clear up to my thigh. And so I just kind of get to lay there and relax, and you just hear all these conversations going on, and you just kind of get to eavesdrop, and you hear people complain, like, that hurts.
A lot of that going on, yeah.
Oh, you can do it. Only two more. Yeah. I'm like, I think you guys lose count. But, it strengthened my ankles, so, because when I went to the orthopedic surgeon the first time for the one bad ankle, he's like, your ankles are not supposed to move that way. And I'm like, well, this is how they've moved my whole life. And he said, we've got to fix that. So now they're working on both of them in physical therapy. So it's fun. But yes, I was on the phone with my sister and she's like, you're going to be late. And so she's talking to me until I'm pulling out of the garage. She's like, you only have like 5 minutes. I'm like, no, they do the news. But I called you. I'm like, I'm on River Road 700 South. I'm hurrying. It was just one of those mornings. Have you ever had one of those mornings?
And of course, the mayor obeyed every traffic law because that's
absolutely
what he does.
Well, yeah. And that's when you sit there like, I've had to wait at this traffic light for 2 times now. But
yeah. And then you start going.
But if I had left in plenty of time, I wouldn't care.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's the key.
Our lawyer friends always say, leave early, slow down.
Leave early, slow down. That's
and then they're
thing.
Like, we don't really mean it because we want your money. No, I'm just kidding. They don't do that. That was me talking.
One call, that's all.
So I wanted to talk about a couple of things. First of all, the parcel of land right downtown 100 West, you did an RFP, I don't know if it was RFP or RFQ, whatever
RFQ.
It was. And so what's happening there? Is it?
So the land has been sold to the group of developers that are going to develop that.
Okay.
They are in, right now they're firming up everything that they want to go there. For a while there, we were meeting weekly to give our input as well, mm-hmm. because we didn't just want something thrown up that was going to be atrocious and ugly.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think it's going to be fabulous. I think the community is going to love it. But they haven't come in yet before the city council to start the process of getting certain things approved.
So we know kind of what it's going to be, but we don't know exactly what it's going to be.
There will be retail. There will be a hotel. There will be, I think, maybe some condos, just a few, not a lot. There will be a lot of kind of open space where you can walk between 100 West back mm-hmm. and forth, because they own the property across the street as well. It's going to be a really cool project, and we want it to also be able to be open to Ancestor Square and blend in there. There will be a parking garage. So I think from what I've seen, I think the community is going to really love it.
I hope so. Yeah, I think it will too. And that's what I think, you know, there was a long time, you go to the 70s and the downtowns were starting to die. In the 80s and 90s, the downtown areas of maybe not St. George, but a lot of towns were just the old shops and nobody wanted to be in, go to them, and they, you know, old buildings. And it's I like the trend in all our cities and in St. George, too, is in revitalizing downtown, making it a place people want to be.
You want that, and you want walkability, so... You know, there's some great shops right on Main Street that I don't even think people know about, like up by the roundabout. It's called Rise and Wander. I'm going to give them a plug right here. They're local. They have the coolest things in that store. Yeah. And so what you'd like people to do is, you know, if you're going to go eat at Pizza Factory or at George's or wherever, and you walk around Ancestor Square, then you kind of walk up Main and look at those shops. And then when this new development's done, you could walk over there. There'll be places to eat or shop. And you walk down your Main Street to Town Square, and you kind of have it all. It's all connected. And so, and it's the walkability and just... You go, when you travel, you like to go to their downtowns.
Right.
And some have great ones, and some are dying. And they become eyesores, they become full of crime and scary, a place you don't want to be. Well, but who doesn't go to San Diego and go to Old Town?
Right. Oh, yeah. Love the. There's an Italian restaurant we go to every time we go there. It's so amazing. But I told a friend, we're going to do a cruise later this summer out of New Orleans. And I had someone tell me, well, don't go downtown, man. It's scary down there. I was like, really? So, and we don't want that ever.
No, we don't ever want that. And I feel like our downtown's really safe, even at night when you're down there walking. And right now you've got St. George Musical Theater, you know, in the Opera House. And so you'll see people go to dinner first and then walk over to see whatever plays going on there. And you just like that active, vibrant downtown. And some people, when City View was first built and the Avenir, they're like, you just ruined downtown. Because they were so used to not seeing anything that was multi-stories down there.
Yeah.
And really, when it comes to water, people, it's water savings to have an apartment than a bunch of single family homes.
Right.
And it just, if there's a place for multifamily anything, for mixed use, it is in your downtown area.
Yeah. And so far it's been handled really well. You know,
it has been handled, and I think it'll get better as some properties become available, because for a while the Boulevard has been like a used car lot. I mean,
it's been ugly.
And I think you're going to see some things come that are going to help revitalize even the Boulevard and an extension of downtown. So
now what are the jobs of political leaders like yourself is to, I find this amazing, look into the future 20, 25 years from now. Do you see 25 years from now those apartment buildings, are they going to be, you know, the thing that happens with a lot of apartment buildings is they're real nice when they open, and then after 5 years they start to get run down, and after 15 or 20 years they're really run down and they're low-rent apartments, and you have a little bit of blight. Do you see that happening with any of these?
Not with these. I think it all goes back to whoever the owners of those apartments are.
Mm.
You know, and how do they want to update them? Do they want to keep them looking nice? I know that City View and Jewel Plaza will both stay like that because of who owns them. And the same with this new project going in at 100 West. These people are invested here in St. George. They love St. George. And they want to leave it better than they found it. And so, yeah, you can go to some apartments and some of the people that own them kind of like it's putting lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
And then others go in and actually redo them and update. And even downtown, when I'm driving around downtown, it's the same with some of the homes down there. Because those homes are old. I mean, over 50 years old, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And some people will take them and just with a few things that they do and I'm like, wow, the house looks amazing. Some will take an old house and tear it down and build a new house downtown. Because it just, by the time you get into all of the electrical and the plumbing and all the pipes, they're like, it's just cheaper to build new. And that's great too. You want to see that in your downtown. So anyway, I think we've got exciting things happening and hopefully our residents embrace it and love it as much as we do.
I just got a text, and that's what we're here for, right? This one says, is there any way you can ask the state to open a DMV state ID office in St. George?
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, considering the population growth here and in Ivins and Santa Clara. Another subject, why not just pay for the door that I knew this was going to come up. SGPD broke. It's cheaper than a lawsuit. And the story, but to give a little background, lady got stabbed. Terrible, terrible thing. She got stabbed in a group home. And as she was trying to find someone to help her, she went to a couple of different houses. The police got there, not knowing exactly where she was. They saw a blood trail up to one house. They figured she maybe was in that house. When no one answered, they went to break down the door. And then at right about the time they were breaking down the door, they got the radio call that she was actually at another house. So they broke down the door. What's the latest that you know on this?
I've only had one email on it, and I have forwarded it to the chief of police.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that our legal department and will deal with, and I'm sure in the end it will all be taken care of. But you can't, that's something that rarely happens here.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a matter of life and death. I mean, this lady
emergency,
was,
yeah. In fact, if they hadn't gotten to her when they got to her, she wouldn't have lived.
Yeah, she would no longer be with us. So they just have to make those last-minute judgment calls, and this one was wrong, and we'll rectify it. And what was the first question?
Well, let me finish up with this one just by saying I know people that work in Washington City, and they said that sometimes that's just the way law enforcement works, and they will always go through the homeowner insurance first. Now, the homeowner insurance might then bill the city, or if the homeowner insurance turns it down, the owner might bill the city. But eventually, like you said,
it all gets taken care of.
So the first question was about the ID. Let's see.
Oh, the DMV.
ID office, yeah.
Yeah, the DMV used to be in St. George many, many moons ago. That's where I got my driver's license, here in St.
Really?
George.
It must be many moons, because I've always had to go out to Purgatory area.
Yep, it was actually in the old county administration building. The DMV was downstairs there. And I do think they need a satellite office over here. I mean, how would you like to live in Enterprise and you have to go to Hurricane to update your license?
Awful.
Awful. It just makes sense that the majority of the population in the county is in St. George, and so
about half, yeah.
It would make sense to have a satellite office here.
Yeah.
And that's something that I can sic our government affairs director on and see if he can make anything happen there.
Now, the one good thing that has happened with DMV and DLD, Driver's License Division, is most of the stuff you can take care of online and through mail.
Thank goodness.
There are occasions, you know, if your license lapsed or occasions like that where you have to go out there, but most of it you can actually do, so it doesn't matter where it is, right?
Yeah.
Because you can do it online.
Yeah, and that has been nice because you used to have to go to register your car, like, in person.
Yeah.
That was a pain.
Okay, another text. Could the cities of St. George and Washington work together to improve traffic flow at Sandia Road and Mall Drive? The dedicated right turn lane on Sandia needs to be extended. There's a long email or long text. During certain times of the day, traffic can be backed up on Sandia Road past the LDS Meeting House, even to Cimarron Drive. Any thoughts on that?
Well, Sandia is in Washington.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? We work really well with Washington. They're good partners. We've had a few things that we've had to meet on to try and address. And if you'll forward me that text, then I will get a hold of Mayor Staley later and see what we can figure out with our public works directors.
I will magically, right now, even as we're speaking, forward it to you, Michelle with one L.
Thank you.
Yeah. Michelle Tanner, 2 L's. Michelle Randall, 1 L.
Yep.
So,
yep.
By the way, and we don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we're going to have some election stuff coming up when it's closer to, but it is Declaration Week. If you want to run for a city office, this is the week. And most municipalities here in the county, there are at least one or two city council seats open, and a lot of the mayor, I think, are all the mayors up this
year? Yes.
So, including Michelle Randall, who has filed.
I filed on Monday. Right. I haven't made an announcement on Facebook or anything yet, but the deadline to file is tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Yeah, end of business day tomorrow.
End of business day tomorrow. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think, now you filed, Jimmy Hughes has also filed. Do you think anyone else will file in the mayor race?
I have no idea.
No? Not even a gut feeling?
Not even a gut feeling. Nothing. No. This election cycle has been really weird because usually leading up to a municipal election, you'll hear a lot of rumors out there. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I've heard this person's going to run for this and this person for this and this. And I haven't heard anything. It's been crickets.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
It's been really strange.
I was thinking in order for someone to even be in the race with you and Jimmy, it would have to be a big name. Somebody maybe who's been a state rep or something like that, that would have to file. Otherwise, I mean, if you just have, no offense to your average citizen, if you just have your average citizen throw their name in there, they're not going to have any chance at all. So.
Well, and that puts us in a primary, and then that ends, you have to end up spending more money and all that good stuff.
True. That's true. That's a good point.
So, right now, I know there's two that have filed in Santa Clara. I think Chris is the only one so far in Washington. And I haven't heard about Ivan's yet. I haven't checked. No.
Chris Hart is stepping down there. So.
Yeah, Chris Hart is done.
No incumbent.
No incumbent.
In that city, yeah. Same with Santa Clara.
Yeah.
With, Mayor Rosenberg out.
Two of his council members have filed to run.
I know Nanette Billings is running again in Hurricane.
Yeah.
Bill Hosser is running again out in Leeds.
Has he confirmed that?
He told me he was going to run again one more time. Yep.
Okay, because he was really on the fence.
Yeah. Well,
in Leeds, it is completely volunteer.
Yeah, no money at all.
One penny.
Yeah.
And I know people think, well, Leeds is little. No, they've got some big issues going on over there right now.
Yeah.
And he has a business that he's also running.
Yes.
So, for this to be a volunteer thing, he's like, I don't know if I want to do it again. But
yeah.
I'm glad to hear he is.
And I don't know if you have, this has happened to you, but he says he's received at least two death threats and on a daily basis gets, not death threats, but threats or mean things said about him.
It
makes me wonder why, Michelle, why would you do this to yourself?
The reason I'm doing it to myself is because I have 11 grandkids. You have kids and grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
We want to leave this place better than we even found it. We love it. That's the only reason I do it, is because I love where I live and I think I can make a difference. And I feel like I have made a difference. But it does come with things that no one knows about.
Yeah.
It comes with, being frightened by mm-hmm. somebody who has made horrible threats to you.
Mm-hmm.
1 year.
That's real. Yeah.
It is real. 1 year, my state of the city, happens in the garden room down at the Dixie Center. It's all just an open glass room. And the police called me and said, there's a guy online and he's making these horrible threats. And so the number of police officers we had to have for that state of the city. And do you know how nervous I was to go up there? And
I didn't, but I do now.
Yeah, I tried to just...
Wasn't this right around the time that someone tried to kill presidential candidate Donald Trump?
This was the year before.
Oh, it was before that. Okay.
But, you're really nervous. And they'd had dealings with this guy, and they knew that he was unstable, and they took the threat seriously because of who it was coming from. And so then I have to walk in there and put on a really brave face and hope that like a red dot doesn't show up on my shirt,
Right.
And I had two police officers sitting next to me before I even went up on the stage and said, if anything happens, duck and follow us out this door. That is very unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've had one guy lately that just keeps calling and leaving me voicemail after voicemail that you know, he's going to see me in prison and, you know, I need to resign on a Sunday, the holy day, and just over and over and over. And it just, you look at elections. Even when I ran for city council the first time in 2013, it was nothing like this. Nothing. Hmm. You know, you'll have a few people that'll make a comment online, you know, you're stupid, you shouldn't do this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, you always have your trolls. But when it comes down to real threats and people hand-delivering letters to City Hall that are horrific, you know, it can get under your skin.
My wife is, as people know, she is the executive assistant to the city manager in Washington City. And basically what that means is all the yucky stuff she gets.
Yeah.
Because the city manager is the one dealing, hey, here, take this. And so recently she got a call from a lady. She called four times in a matter of a minute and a half. And the lady who had answered the original call said, Shelly's really busy. She can't take your call. But if you'll leave a voicemail for her, then she'll be able to take care of it. So this lady called, and my wife didn't answer. So she called again. She didn't answer. She called again. Didn't answer. She called again. She finally called a fifth time, like a few minutes later, as anonymous, where it didn't even come up as to who it was. And then she proceeded after my wife answered that, but said she was busy and she would help her later, sent her, I think it was a half dozen emails in the next 5 minutes. It's like, really, folks? Come on. So do you think, I had Bill Hoster on last week. Do you think it is a product of social media, the keyboard warrior, the anonymity that comes with? Do you think that's what's driving all this vitriol?
I think that's a huge part. You look at national politics, how nasty national politics have gotten. Mm-hmm. Even the election last year when you had the presidential election, but you had, you know, Senator Ipsen and I can't remember all who was up. Was Celeste up for election last year? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was Celeste and Colby Jenkins.
Yeah, but it just got nasty. Yeah. I mean, people are just downright, it's like would, and they don't even know you. They've never met you, but they're saying the most horrible things about you, forgetting that I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a grandma, mm-hmm. I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, mm-hmm. I'm an aunt. And I have a whole group of people who love me. And when things like that happen, it affects my whole entire family as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's hard. You know, somebody once told me never when, you know, in radio, never believe the people that say you're great and never believe the people that say you suck.
Right.
Just try to stay in the middle. That's hard to do when people keep saying how bad you are or how terrible you are, how, you know, and it's like, do you know me? Can we sit down and have dinner and talk about this? No, they don't want that.
No.
They just want to throw things at you.
Yeah. But I am glad to hear Mayor Hoster's running again. I think he's been great for Leeds, and I'm glad he's going to stick in there for one more term.
Yeah, it's tough. You know as well as anybody that's.
I've told you many times. I'd probably take a root canal with no anesthesia before campaigning. It's awful.
Okay, I think you went too far on that one for me. I'm not going there. Maybe foot surgery, but all right, we got to get a weather break in. We'll be right back. We're talking with Michelle Randles, mayor of St. George, Washington, St. George City. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
It's a Thursday. It's kind of a rainy Thursday, which is weird for here, right? I mean, how often does that happen? Mayor was telling me you got lightning and thunder, right, where you were?
I woke up to thunder this morning. That's what woke me up. And I actually, we did get some rain. The other day when it was raining so hard on the east side, we didn't get one drop.
No, I was in Middleton. I live in Middleton. I didn't get anything either, except there was maybe a few. My brother always says, yeah, I got 3 inches of rain. There were 3 inches in between drops, which is kind of true.
Yeah, that's kind of what we had. But Washington, you know, they got hammered. And,
yeah.
And you know, Springdale always seems to get hammered. But we are appreciating any rain we can get right now. I mean, we can't complain about May or June up. I mean, it's only what is today? June what?
June 5th.
So the first 5 days in June, we really can't complain. We've had a couple hundred degree days, but boy, if we could just keep it in the 90s for a while longer, that'd be delightful.
My wife called me the other day and said it was raining real hard over in Washington. And she's like, you know, was asking if it was raining in where I was in Middleton. And I said, no, I heard some lightning. And she goes, honey, you can't hear lightning. I'm like, whoa.
I heard the after effects of lightning.
Technically, you can't hear lightning, but the lightning and thunder go together, and it was close. So, yeah, she's right.
Yeah, and on my way here, the roads were pretty wet, and so we appreciate any drop of rain we can get. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that this is a precursor to a really good monsoon summer.
Ooh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
That would be amazing.
I have spent many a 4th of July with great, all due respect to the city, great fireworks, but the lightning show was better than the fireworks a lot of 4th of July's, but it seemed like it's been a couple of years since that happened.
Yeah. Last 4th of July was absolutely miserable.
Yeah. We need lightning.
It was so
rain.
Horribly hot and gross. And in fact, this year the city's not going to do their big, huge 4th of July celebration. We'll do the run in the morning and the 4th of July parade. Mm-hmm. But everything that goes on in Town Square, we had employees passing out last year.
Yeah.
And so we're going to take all of our efforts to and put them towards Dixie Days in September, the third week in September, just because it's so hot. And the carnival said, we're happy to move to September as well.
I was telling Marianne Hamilton, who was on the other day, I was like, we moved the fair, the county fair, to April. Can we move the 4th of July to April?
Right.
Or September? I guess you can't technically move the 4th of July. But
last year it was hotter than I've remembered for a long time. But we do need the rain, and hopefully it keeps coming. And, you know, I did a mayor's message Monday, and the comments were, you know, a lot of them were crucifying. So,
not good.
Just on conservation.
New text. Hi, I've asked the question a couple times, but the answer is always roads are on a schedule and they go to the chip and seal. So my question again to the mayor is, how come they can't use the asphalt milling machines more to take and smooth down some of these rough roads? My wife's car front struts have been totally destroyed. But before I finish reading the rest of that, I got to tell you, if you grew up in the 60s, 70s, 80s, the roads nowadays compared to back then are a million times better. I mean, I lived in a municipality. You know, in the 80s, my family moved to West Jordan. West Jordan was a city. I mean, there was, you know, 30 or 40,000 residents at the time. The roads were terrible. There were potholes everywhere and, you know, grooves. I mean, what we have here in St. George City, I think, is pretty amazing. Now, that being said, apparently
there is a concern.
That comes
down to expense.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have right now, I'm looking, 473 paved roadway miles.
Wow. Just in the city.
Just in the city of St. George.
That's a lot
of miles to take care of. And so they do have a schedule, and Chip and Seal works a lot to buy some time until a road needs to be totally repaved. There's only so much money. And so we do the best we can with what we have. But that's my answer.
I remember a question a few years ago. It was about the bridge on Mall Drive. And why didn't you make it, you know, five lanes right away? And the answer was, we did what we could afford.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's one of the realities of living in, like, people get used to the federal government, who seemingly has this endless supply of money or debt or whatever it is. And you get to the state and the county and then the city, You have to live within a budget.
You have to balance your budget.
Yeah.
Your budget has to be balanced every year. The only person that people that get away with not having a balanced budget is the federal government.
Right.
And so you look at your budget every year and you prioritize where that money needs to go and which projects need to be done for that year. And that's how we do it. And in fact, tonight is our first public hearing on our budget. We'll have another one, I think, on the 19th, and before we adopt the budget. But we had an open house last Thursday for 2 hours.
Not many people came, huh?
A handful.
And I wonder, there are people that are going to complain about the budget. There are people that are going to be angry and send you emails and texts, and yet they couldn't be bothered to come by the
open
house.
No, and they could have gotten every answer to every question they had. Every department head was there with their budgets, and you know, Public Works was there with their schedule of projects that they have this year. You know, they've got 6 stoplights that have been funded for
there are going to be 6 new stoplights in St. George?
6 new ones, that have been funded. In fact, they've already gone out to bid. And so as soon as our fiscal year goes from July 1st to June 30th. So as soon as July 1st rolls around, those have been awarded. Their budget's been awarded, and they'll be installed, including the one at Pioneer and Man of War. Okay. That was included in one of the 6. So they just prioritize. We have like 3 all-day budget meetings, and we kind of do a business plan of what are the top needs for the city right now, and we go from there, and the council will kind of do a process where they prioritize what each one feels is their top need. And we put them all together and come to a consensus on what really has to be funded right now and what can wait maybe another year or so. And so that was all out there for the public on Thursday, and maybe 10, 11 people showed up out of a population of over 100,000. And we advertised the heck out of it on social media.
I think if someone said, I didn't know about it, I don't think that's a good excuse, because it was out. I even talked about it on the news here on KDXU.
We put it out there and just had a few people come. So tonight is the public hearing where you can come and comment on the budget. It won't be passed tonight. We do two public hearings before we pass the budget.
So what time is that tonight?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, okay. Mm-hmm. I kind of look at it this way with the budget. Look at your family, look at your home, okay? Man, our house could use a new roof, right? Well, it's not leaking. You don't have the money for a new roof. So you go, okay, we're going to table that, for lack of a better word, table it till next year. Well, sometime during the spring, it starts leaking, and all of a sudden you have drips, you have water coming into your house. Then you go, okay, well, the leaky roof just went from maybe 10th on the priority list up to number 1 or 2. And so whatever money you have in savings, you go and put the new roof on. And that money, now one of the other projects, you know, a new water heater, or do you want to put a patio in the backyard, those get knocked down the list. That's the reality of things with a city, too.
Yeah.
In Utah, at least. I don't know about California, but.
Like if we had a sinkhole that happened all of a sudden on a major road, that jumps to the top of the list to get that fixed and repaired, and so it doesn't ever happen again. If you have a major pipe break somewhere, that's obviously going to be put to the top of the list. And sometimes you have to do a budget opening and pull some money out of, you know, a rainy day fund to cover those costs, which we hope we don't have to do. But the city's being well run. It's well managed. We have an amazing budget team, and they are very conservative in their numbers.
We're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, I try not to do this, but sometimes I read the comments, and I'm going to ask Mayor about one of the comments I read when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 950 on KDXU. Yeah, we've almost used up the Mayor Thursday. Michelle Randall is here. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Looking fantastic, as always.
Thank you.
Classy. You and Mary Ann Hamilton always class up the studio. It's kind of ghetto in here.
Love Mary Ann. She's awesome.
Yeah, she is cool. Michelle is running for mayor again. Jimmy Hughes right now the only other candidate that has filed. But we have till 5 o'clock tomorrow evening for anyone to put their name in. Is there a cost, a small fee, right, to file?
It's $100 to file to run for mayor and $50 for city council.
Okay. All right. You get more than compensated with the huge salary that the mayor gives.
Huge salary. Yeah. Yes.
It's not. I'm being facetious. So one of the comments I saw online when talking about filing for candidacy was, well, get someone in there that'll say no to people developing their property. I was like, really? That's what you're going to comment on? We want, in St. George, Utah, in the United States of America, we want our politicians to tell people, you can't do stuff with your property. You can't build on your own property.
Yeah, that seems to, I think that'll be a campaign theme this year. You do have those no growthers out there that are saying, you know, don't tell us to conserve water when we had the worst winter on record. If you're going to keep issuing building permits, and it does come back to, if you own 10 acres somewhere and you wanted to develop it, do you want the city to say, sorry, you can't? And how do you tell somebody they just can't move here? How do you say, no, the door's shut, you can't move to St. George, we're not allowing anybody else in?
That sounds communist to me, or socialist.
Yeah, I just don't. We do live in America, and people have the right to develop their property. And people have a right to move from different city to city or state to state. They can go wherever they want in America. And that's why we all love it here. And we're glad that we were born here.
It's a great place. I wish I was born here. I wasn't. But I was actually born.
No, not just Utah. I'm saying in America. Yeah. I mean, can't imagine being born in China or somewhere like that, where you're limited to the amount of children you can have and where you can live and what you can do.
By the way, another text came in. Can you ask the mayor how come they can't change some of the two-lane roads into four-lane roads, such as Four Master Drive, 700 South, 100? Those are very, very busy, and they're just two lanes. And I will throw my thoughts on this. I don't think they're wide enough to be four lanes, some of them.
Some of them aren't. And you got to also...
I can't see 700 South ever being four lanes. I mean, it's just not that big, is it? I mean, you could squeeze it in there, but...
Also, look at all the residential in the school
and
right
the school,
there.
Yeah.
What happens when you go from two lanes to four?
People go faster.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They go a lot faster. And so a lot of it is a safety issue. Anytime we have widened a road, then the speed just increases. I mean, you sit right here above Bluff, and you can watch people just fly down Bluff Street.
Yeah.
I remember when Bluff Street was two lanes. I don't even think it was called Bluff Street then. I don't even know what it was called. But the second you widen a road, you're going to get an increase of speed, which leads to more accidents.
And more serious accidents.
More serious accidents. It's unsafe. Especially in a residential neighborhood where 700 South is busy, that is our east-west connection for a lot of people. That's why it's so important to get that George Washington extension from Popeye's Chicken over to Crosby Way.
Yeah.
That will be four lanes, and it will be a quick way to go from east to west. But right now, you know, you look at 700 South, and until you get to about just past 700 East, it's all residential and a school.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you've ever been there in either the morning or the afternoon, driven through there, there are crosswalks, and people half the time aren't stopping, or they're slamming on the brakes at the last second because they, what's a person doing there? Well, school just got it.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
School is there.
Yeah. I look at Main Street in Washington City. They got, basically, UDOT said, we're putting the freeway exit here. They had to expand Main Street into a four-lane deal, and they have kind of the islands in the middle. But Mayor Staley said, we did not anticipate how much more traffic and how much faster they would be going on this street. He said, we're glad that it's alleviated some of the congestion on exit 10, but this new exit 12 is also turning out to be a challenge. And then you get to Telegraph over there, and where do they go at that point?
I know.
Yeah.
We're a society now that is just, we want to go from A to B as fast as possible. We don't want to be backed up in traffic. We just, it reminds me, I've always said I'm a country music fan, and Alabama has a song, I'm in a hurry, what are their lyrics? Something like, always in a hurry to get, you know, places. And it just like, yeah, just slow down, enjoy the ride. Even if it's only on two lanes instead of four.
I'm curious, we only have about 3 minutes left, but Danielle Larkin has been a real banner carrier for the One Street concept, where you have basically one lane for cars, one lane for bikes, and then a sidewalk, a place for a walk. Are you into that as well? Do you feel like that's the way St. George should go? Because there is evidence that the old way of developing cities has not been good, because the old way of, you know, bigger, faster roads, and you end up having urban blight. So is One Street the answer?
I don't know if it's One Street. I know that when we turned Dixie Downs Road from four lanes to two lanes, oh my gosh.
We got a lot of,
That was a safety issue. Imagine being a crossing guard and having to take kids across four lanes of traffic. It was getting really dangerous. Has it slowed traffic down? You bet it has. And some people may have to wait a little longer. And so I am in favor of things like that when it is a safety issue, when it's going to slow some cars down and help protect the kids. And you do see more people on bikes now. I mean, some people, they like to bike from place to place.
Yeah.
Am I one of those? No.
No, but Danielle is.
But Danielle is. Yeah. And are we going to turn all of our streets into streets with bike lanes? No. But there are some that make sense to have a bike lane on them.
Yeah, and I almost, you know, as we were talking about 700 South, I almost think maybe instead of four or five lanes, that might be a good candidate for, you know, still two car lanes or three, I guess, with a turn lane, and then maybe a bike lane in there. And so, I don't know. I'm just
you know, we've done
here.
That on 300 South. Mm-hmm. There's a bike lane there. You would never want a bike lane on Bluff Street. I mean, taking your life into your hand to drive a bike on Bluff.
When I see a pedestrian trying to cross Bluff, it's not at the light, I'm like, what are you, crazy?
I know. So terrifying. So. But, yeah, it's just, we do have traffic issues, but I go into any other big city and I come back and I'm just grateful for the traffic that we have.
Yeah, that's true. You go to spend a week in Salt Lake and then come back and you're like, oh, traffic here is not bad, actually. I did want to ask you before we go, only have a minute left, Bloomington exit roundabout, there have been rumors, and I don't know if UDOT has told you anything, that they're going to take away the roundabouts and put lights in eventually. Is that ever going to happen?
Have not heard that from UDOT.
Okay. So far, it's just a rumor.
So far, I think it's a rumor. You're a Bloomington
resident, right?
Bloomington Hills.
Bloomington Hills.
I will check with UDOT. We meet with them once a month, and so that's on the third Tuesday of every month, so I'll ask that question.
Yeah, that would be big news for Southern Utah. There are so many people. I don't know how you feel about the roundabouts.
I hate that roundabout in particular.
It is tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a good way for that one to be resolved. I don't like lights either. I don't want that. But what else are you going to do? You got to do something.
Yeah, that one's bad. So. I agree.
Out of time, Michelle Randall.
Have a fabulous weekend.
Thank you. Budget meeting tonight, 5 o'clock. Open house.
No,
hearing.
Public hearing.
Public hearing. Yeah. All right, we're out of time. Thanks for listening, everybody.